Croeso and welcome to the Tales for Wales, the pod that never fails to grow your knowledge of Welsh history from a precious sapling to a mighty oak. To march the formations of Welsh trivia through the treacherous woodland is the modern-day Anglo-centric life. I couldn't think of anything other than that for a third one, so as usual, I'm Jack, and I'm joined by my fellow boy of the woodland, the baby.
Your own little Friar Tuck. Here I am.
Yeah. My merry man.
Yeah, your little merry man himself. Lonely me. It's only me, my lord. Oh, yeah, my lord.
You'll pay the devil on your way to hell.
Yeah. It's been a while since we referenced old Robin Hood, so it's quite nice.
Probably not even been that long. Been like a matter of maybe especially an episode or two.
That yew tree got absolute Operation Yew Tree'd. You know, that thing in the...
I was actually a bit sad about that. I was flicking through my channels, flicking my bean to it, and it really upset me. I was flicking through my channels and it just happened to be Prince of Thieves was on, so I watched like I don't know 15 minutes of it. It was the bit where he's in Jerusalem. I keep forgetting that film starts out in the Crusades. Anyway, it's when he gets to, the score swells and he kisses the land of England, the land of England. And it's not long after that, then he's by the tree.
Yeah,
and
I know.
It reminded me. I was like, oh, that's not even there anymore. Some fucking knobheads.
Two dweebs.
Wankers. Oh.
We've had like a big bump in listeners. We don't understand why, because we've not done any like ads or anything. So I thought maybe we should do a quick little explanation. So hi, welcome, Croeso. But one of the things we referenced...
What you just heard is more of what you can expect.
But we reference about three things, and it's Braveheart, Robin Hood, and Hook. And Zulu, so that's all you need to know. Do the background reading, watch those four films, and you'll fit in absolutely fine.
And you'll never feel lost on this pod, definitely not.
No, never be field lost ever again. But in case you didn't know, we're two dorks who get drunk and yap about Wales. But I'm sure you've gathered that by now. You've probably gone back through some of the other stuff. But it is mad.
Neither of us can put our finger on why exactly, but we're not ones to look the podcast this? Gods in the mouth when they present a gift, are we?
Yeah, that's the old saying. We just see all the numbers drop off.
We never look got the gods in the mouth when it gives you a gift. That's what they say.
Also, I forgot to do a shout out last week when we had Jackie Abanos on. We were meant to shout out Luke's band, who is on Luke Clement. So it's called the Night School Band on Instagram, so you can check them out. They're really fun. That's the guy who did the Mabinogion episode.
Oh, yeah. Go check them out.
I'm just doing all my notes. I'm doing a lot of heavy admin at the top.
New listeners, same thing again. This is often happens. We forget to do things and then play catch up.
Also, this is the summer sales finished on our Patreon. So, sorry, guys, you snoozed and you lost. But you can also join up still. And it's a great deal. It's a great laugh. We've got a really fun one coming up that we're doing about Welsh films, which I'm excited to do with Jack soon.
Yeah, that should be a good laugh. Should be a good laugh.
Can't be asked to publicise it too much. Just Google it. If you want to join, we fall apart
when we try and publicise it ourselves, don't we? We set ourselves like aggrandise.
In the notes on here, you'll be able to find it. We've had a bunch of
just
sign-ups
the
in
links,
the summer.
Mate.
So,
easy.
Yeah, follow the links. They'll do you right. We ain't no scammers here. Trust me, my lord. I wouldn't take your pennies. I promise I wouldn't.
We do that voice as well a lot. Yeah. For any
my lord.
Just prepare yourself.
How are you, man? We got a big weekend coming up, haven't we?
Yeah, we do, mate. This I'm never going to financially recover from this this month.
Summer.
It's my own doing,
I know.
Absolutely. Because like we've got three big days with the boys on a go
in a row.
So we were out a week before last when we went up to Bristol with the lads and the girls as well.
And the girls.
That was a mega sesh. That was one of the most hungover.
Oh man, that was
fucking age.
Yeah, that was a real, real slog. That was fucking hell.
My liver finally came up against
an
opponent. My liver, my lord, finally came up against an opponent. It couldn't fucking go 12
that
rounds.
That was quite funny.
Absolutely canvassed on the Sunday.
We got to this like quite bougie middle class like food festival, and we got there bang on when it opened. We went straight to the bar, and we were like, instead of getting one pint, we said, can we get a pitcher? So we were like, and it was like some really annoying, upbeat man behind the bar. He's like, oh, hello, my good sirs. And he was and so happy.
You were a little bit grumpy on the way up, weren't you, so as well? Grumpy. Because you hadn't had a drink, and you probably. Yeah.
And I was just like, and, I had the dog with me. It's a bit stressful, and I'm a bit grumpy sometimes. Sue me.
But no,
sorry.
But Frank's was like, he was like still on the funny side of grumpy, in that he was like getting involved with the laughs, though. But then when we saw this guy, this fucking clown behind the bar, he must have been on. He must have been on some fucking gear or something like that, because he was way so too much. Yeah. And I got served by him, and I like barely survived without fucking like being so rude. Yeah. And I turned around to Frank and I was like, brace yourself.
He was like, forsooth, my lord, does it quench thy thirst?
He looked at his, what he went, what's the time again? And he looked at his watch and went, oh, bloody hell, that's a compass.
Yeah, he asked us what the time was. Oh, I just realised, I actually don't have a watch, I have a compass, so I know which way I'm going. I'm never late, though. It's just like, oh, you rehearsed that.
Bewildered look of the six lads in front of him then. We were just looking at him like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Shut
and like,
up.
We weren't, you know, we were just like, we're up for a big laugh that day. So our spirits were high, but we're like,
I'm up for a laugh, mate. Just be funny.
I'm up for a big laugh. And you're making this hard for me. You're ruining my day. You're harsh on my buzz.
Yeah, but when he got us like one pint, I was like, mate, can I have a picture of four? And he kind of thought that was for
I
like
need to minimize the trips I see you on. So give me fucking more bang for my buck.
And he kind of was like, oh, great. Oh, you're up for a big one. Hey. And then you went behind me and said, oh, can I get four? And then he was like, oh, great, another, I love your style. And then like a third mate did it. And then like a fourth, and then a fifth. And he was like, fucking hell, lads, you've got me dry, all right? And it's like banter stopped like immediately. It was like, you fucking set me back so much.
Remember, he was given different information to different parties as well. Because we went up and the girls were like, oh, can I have this like, whatever it was, Pim's like cooler thing or something. And we're like, oh, can we have one of these, please? And he went, oh, we're not doing them. Oh, right, okay. So then we went back to the table and our other mate, Andy, came back with one of those Pim's coolers.
Yeah,
and we're
made like, you look
a
right
rat. Yeah, how dare he? Misinformation all across the bar.
But that was a bad hangover, wasn't
lovely
it?
Day.
Yeah, but that killed us, that hangover, for like a week. We were all fucking... Oh, I think we all had
Sunday,
COVID.
I
spoke to my mates. We were all like, we just felt like we couldn't even look at a screen or like concentrate. We were so fucking like, for like up until Wednesday or Thursday, I was fucking gone.
Oh, yeah. It was the classic Thursday, mate. I even messaged on Thursday when I could have a beer today now, actually, again. Yeah. But it was, that was a very, very harsh hangover for me. As I said to you, my wife even said on the Sunday, she went, not even a few to take the edge off. Like, so very, very surprised. Because I normally have like a little something, because it's the easiest cure for a hangover. But it was so bad that it was like, I can't even do that. Like, the thought of alcohol was making me sick.
Yeah.
But yes, we had that big one a couple of Saturdays ago. I went out for a biggie with the boys on last Saturday.
Weekend.
And my weekend just gone.
I still drank, but I didn't go with you boys for the weekend. And I was thinking, oh, it's kind of good because I'm up with you all this weekend and then next weekend's my football night out, and it's like four weekends in a row. It's just fucking too much.
Yeah. Well, but listen, three is too much. Like I spent a lot of money on Saturday. I spent a lot of money the Saturday before as well.
Oh, it did
and
look
now
good,
this
though.
Saturday. Oh, yeah,
when
it was good
when
fun.
I was
it
getting
was
good updates, laugh. So because I had some family stuff, so I couldn't go. I was being an honourable son, but it also means you look at your phone.
An honourable
like,
man.
Yeah, and you go, I wish I was. I still drank. I still had some bevs in me, but it wasn't the same as being with my beautiful
boys. Of course,
boys.
You got it. No, but it was great. Good laugh. But then it was like, I've just, like, so much money has just gone down the shitter, basically. I've got nothing to show for it apart from the memories in my head. But I mean, they're worth more than money in the bank, aren't they? Let's be honest.
I like how you argued with yourself there. Like,
yeah.
Got nothing to show
hang on, but what about this? But on the
life.
Other hand, actually. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to talk about to my grandkids about what time I had saving my money, am
especially
I?
Especially because we're not having kids. So
especially like I'm not having them, so I'm definitely not going to only get... Yeah. Chewing the ears off of other people's grandkids. Let me tell you about that night we went to Metro's kid.
Yeah.
Right?
Buckle do you know up. What I was thinking recently, which is quite funny? Like, a lot of people of our mates now are having kids. And I really want to start commenting when they put their photos on Instagram of, like, when they've got their newborn, or even if, like, a couple of weeks in, just start commenting, that's not how you hold a kid. Just leave that under loads and just feel like make them really anxious.
Be one of those people. Yeah. That's actually really dangerous.
Yeah. That's actually really... Did you not learn that at Baby Academy?
Yeah, like a nice, you know, picture of them blowing out their birthday candles or something. That's a fire hazard.
Smoke
that's
kills. Very dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, smoke kills. Like secondhand smoke from the candle.
Yeah.
You're not a fit parent.
Yeah, and especially someone who is childless. I just think it'd be really fun to add my 2p in when it's definitely not needed.
Just
a bit of a laugh.
Turn into one of those, like, you know, those knobheads online that they comment on things that they don't care about.
Yeah.
Supposedly, you know, they go, trolls. Don't care. Why do I care about this? It's like, you're commenting on it. Yeah, just imagine you're like, don't mind you, how harsh would that be on one of our actual friends, kids, like birthdays? Don't care.
Don't care.
Who's that? Oh, that's Uncle Frank.
Don't care. It's boring.
Don't care. Boring. Come boring. To the pub or fuck off.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of is our mantra.
That is, yeah. We don't post it on Facebook on people's pictures of their kids, but that is what we say to them in real
letters
life.
Letters in the post. And just forward that on.
Every time I get invited to like a kid's birthday party, I'm like, nah, man, you know I don't want to be there. I'll see if you're going for
you don't want me there.
I will.
But, I don't want to be there. Yeah. What are we
Let's
doing
not
here,
force
guys?
This on any of us, shall we?
Yeah.
I'm just going to be that awkward in the corner. Can't talk to the kids because he doesn't know how to be around them.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, can I get overly drunk and make a fool of myself in front of all your friends? Let's just leave it out.
So we got this weekend, we're going to the cricket. So if anyone, this will be out after we go to the cricket, but we'll be at the cricket. And
that's it, yeah.
We've never been to cricket before, but I know it's quite a boozy.
If anyone was at the cricket, did you see us?
Did you see
did
us?
Did you not?
Was it nice?
Yeah.
Did we get sick? Were we annoying?
Were we bemused by the game because we didn't know what the hell was going on?
But
possibly.
Don't you get to this part of summer where you're like, fuck, I miss winter, where it's like you can just sit down and not have any plans and not like go out and get like. I just feel like I always overbook the summer. You fucking
this
prescribe
month is
for everything.
On the trot, mate. Cause my dad's coming down to visit my long lost father.
Bit of background as well. Jack's dad ran away when he saw Jack when he was born, and he fled to
that's
Ireland.
So the like, tale goes. Yeah.
Like many Welsh princes of yesterday, they used to flee to Dublin.
I popped out like a cursed child, you know, the Mabinogion curses, and my father fled to Iwerddon, aka Ireland.
Get a bit of safety.
He's back next weekend then for a couple of days, so like I'm going to just be in the pub basically with him the entire time.
Oh, it is class though. Just saying that does make me excited. All weekend in the pub.
That's but what it is mean. Also, I was like, money, but I know on the day I'll be like fucking not even looking at my bank account.
Yeah, this is the best thing in life. And also, you're going to St. Athan probably, aren't you, for the pubs?
Oh, I'm dragging them out of there because I've had enough. I'm not going to. There, because it's like the place we always go is the Roos Social Club. And I don't doubt there's anyone listening who frequents there, you know, but it's a bit of a shithole. It's nice enough people there and everything, but it's just like a shitty little like villagey type.
I want that though. I want
same
a
old
shit
people.
Pub.
Oh, it's not this. It's not that kind of thing though. It's you know, like the one in actual St. Athan, like this right next to my mum's. We've been to, haven't we? That's like a proper like old stone building.
Yeah.
It's like actually old school in there. This is like a you know, like a cons club,
like flat roof
like that, where it's like very 70s, very
I love that as well.
I don't consider
love
that
pubs. I welcome all faiths. Welcome all faiths of the pub. You can be a Methodist pub, you can be a Baptist pub, I don't care, but I welcome you.
I love that. Well, you've got better tolerance for me. Basically, I think it's I've been in there so often.
Yeah.
Whenever my dad comes down, he tends to go there because my uncle just fucking parks up a pew in there and never moves. Yeah. We tend to like corral around him, but I'm adamant this time. I'd be like, we're going. I don't even care if we just go like up the road to like Barry or Lantwit or something like that.
That's
Let's
true.
Just go somewhere different. That's all I want. A little bit of scenery change.
But then October. Oh, also, we should probably mention this. We're looking to go to Benidorm for a holiday with the boys in October. So
keep forgetting about that. My wife keeps saying, has that been booked yet? I'm like, I'll sort it.
We'll sort itself out. But Benidorm's more funny, isn't it? But should we get going? Because the episode's already a bit in, and we're just literally talking about
the
pub.
Go on, then.
We're not said anything wagon, interested for ages.
And we never, ever talk about that as well. So when's the next chance we'll have?
All right. Sorry about that, guys. We got Glosten Reverie.
Crack on, mate.
So today is the Battle of Owl Oi. I don't know how you say it. How would you say it?
Sound like a straight
Owl. Sounded like that. You know that thing goes, wow, wow. That kid's toy when you go bend it upside down.
Yeah,
just before we get started, should I Google how you pronounce it? Because I've only ever seen it written down.
How's it spelled? Ewloe, something like that.
Ewloe, yeah.
Owloy?
Owloy? Owloy? Owloy? Yeah, well, it's that.
If it was
bad.
Welsh, I'd say Eulai, wouldn't I?
Eulai. Yeah. But do you know when you go on, when you go on like Wikipedia to see how it's spelled? Let's see if we play it.
Yeah.
It might have a Eulai. In Welsh, it's Eulai. Without the Eulai. Without the E at the end. So Eulai. The Battle Eulai. Of Eulai. 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 Yeah.
Right. We've got through the title. We're on a roll.
Yeah. Right. And it's in North Wales. But I'll come to all that in a second. Just slow your horses down. But we're going to discuss the Battle of Eulai, which is Henry II's army versus Owain Griffith. Owain Ap Griffith. So Owain Gwynedd.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. He's one of the people known as Owain Fawr. One of the few people in Welsh history known as Fawr. So the great. So Owain Fawr, Rhodri Fawr, and Llywelyn Fawr. But this is quite an important battle, and I'll come to reasons why in a bit. But just to set the scene, because this is going to be one of our battle episodes, which we started off doing these when we first started the pod, but we decided then
to do quite a lot of this, didn't we?
Yeah. But this one here, some of the stats involved in terms of forces, just to get the scale of it. So Henry II's army was made up of around 4,000 soldiers. It had around 3,000 knights and infantry, plus around 50 ships with their soldiers and supplies on, so it could attack the coasts and the mainland. And then in comparison, Owain had around 1,000 soldiers. So we're looking at like at least a quarter the size. But according
to versus the surf and turf of the English, I can't believe
But according to that, so it's still not 100% sure exactly how many. But one version of a Brutus Tuus Ogion states that Owain's army was 10 times smaller than Henry's, so even less than 1,000. The exact numbers aren't exactly known, but I've gone for the highest estimates of what Owain's army probably was, around 1,000. So the background, so why Henry invaded Gwynedd, and this sets the scene. He invaded in 1157, but Henry II came to the throne in 1154. He inherited a fractured kingdom and an ambitious nobility. So his kingdom was kind of not in a great space, and the nobles around him were all very ambitious. And at this time, Wales was still fiercely resisting English control. So up in the north, Owain Ap Griffith, so Owain Gwynedd, as he's also known, or Owain Fawr, he'd consolidated power over Gwynedd, becoming one of the most formidable Welsh rulers of his era. Owain had taken advantage of the anarchy during King Stephen's reign. So the king before King Henry during 1135 to 1154 was called King Stephen. And during that time, something called the anarchy happened, where there was like civil war in England. And because
fucking
of this,
anarchy, mate. It was fucking anarchy.
And because of the anarchy, Owain managed to expand his control into a perferthwad, which was like the middle country. We spoke about that before. It's the lands between Conwy and the Dee rivers, and it's a place that's constantly being fucked by in terms of war between the Welsh and the English. And when it was the Mercians and then the Northumbrians moving in, it's always had like a big amount
it's changing hands and whatnot all the time, because it's just taking it over and then relinquished again, blah blah blah.
So he expanded his control there during this time. He also pushed out English and Norman lords like Ranulph, Earl of Chester, out of key areas like Tegannol and Rhuddlan. And he became like he was established as the most dominant power in North Wales. And this also was Henry II's first major military campaign as king when he invaded Wales. And another thing to note, it was it marked a renewed English interest in dominating Wales, because Owain had kind of held off the English and held off King Stephen, and then King Stephen had to look inward. So he kind of had a bit of peace for a little bit whilst the England was falling
apart.
And
then he went, hang on a minute. I remember you. The old fucking boot on Wales's throat. Let's do that again.
Yeah. So Henry II, seeking to restore Norman English authority, particularly in Tegannol, also known in English as Englefield or Englefield. So he was really keen to get back in those areas, which I just mentioned, like Rhuddlan and Tegannol. So Henry launched his military campaign in 1157. And we mentioned before, like, the differences between the resources between the Welsh and the English are always so drastic. Like, most of the times, they outnumber in terms of soldiers and economy, like 10 to 15 to 1. So they are just, like, fucking huge. And also, Henry was this, like, new king, so he was really keen to assert his dominance and one, to tame the Welsh, and B, to kind of to show the nobility that he's here to fucking cause havoc.
Yeah, he was new kid on the block and needed to sort of make a mark. Yeah.
And also, Owain's brother, Cadwallader ap Gruffydd, had been exiled by Owain, and he sought Henry's help in regaining his land. So we had a Welsh it-like puppet to help as well. So we thought timing was perfect.
No. Tame as old as time, that is.
Tame as old as time. the campaign, right? I got deets about the campaign. So Henry II, he came up with this two-pronged attack. So in summer of 1157, Henry marched a large force through North Wales. That's the 4,000 soldiers I mentioned. Mm. And his strategy involved advancing from Chester into Gwynedd with support of the Marshal Lords and the Norman Barons. and just in case people, this sounds like a lot of different names. The Norman Barons are essentially the English, and the Marshal Lords are also Norman Barons, but they've been given land in hostile Wales, and they're given a kind of like autonomous. So the king's at the top, barons sit below, and these Marshal Lords are kind of governance themselves as long as they keep the Welsh under control and pay their taxes.
They got loads of like dispensations, didn't they? As long as they keep the Welsh out, they sort of get to run their own little.
And they're not Welsh. The important thing is they're Norman descents as well. People often conflate the two. The Normans were the invading army in 1066, and then they become the English. So it's an interchangeable word, but the point is, King Henry, he goes from Chester to Gwynedd with the support of his barons and his lords. So it's a well-armed, well-trained army. He also used the fleet of ships to land near North Welsh coast, putting pressure on Gwynedd from both land and sea. And the Welsh famously have never had much of a naval force. So it's a it's something we've never had, never been able to afford to build, and it's a real like a weak spot for us. And what fleets can do is they can blockade trade, they can attack lands that are that wouldn't be accessible via terrain, especially in North Wales where you have all the mountain ranges and stuff. So having a fleet of ships pretty much undefended against is devastating.
We've gotten the English/Saxon/Normans, whatever you want to call them, out of pinches with the Welsh many a time, isn't it? Where you think we've got them sort of cornered, and then there's like a fleet of ship turns up and either like saves them or adds reinforcements, whatever. It's a real trump card.
Happened in Caernarfon Castle with Edward the Longshanks. A key objective was the capture of Rhuddlan, which was a strategic stronghold that was once under Norman control. And Henry divided his army into two. So the main body moving along the coast, and then a flanking force under his personal command, which aimed to push inland through the heavily wooded Coles Hill forest near Elwall, or however I said it earlier, to outmaneuver Owain's troops. So he had the ships, his main body of the army, and then this flanking force. But Owain, one of the things the Welsh princes and kings always did best was they're aware of their geography and their country. So he was well aware of the invading force, and he could devise a counter strategy that took advantage of his deep familiarity with the terrain. This was like his home, and he and his men knew the land better than any scouts could ever hope to.
I know it like the back of my hand, boy, don't you worry.
Exactly. And he knew which way they'd end up coming. Like, an army of that size only had a few options, so he had to use his knowledge to make an informed guess. He also knew that once again the landscape of Wales would be vital to beat back against such big odds. So he hoped to ambush them in the forest and rugged landscape of Ewell and Coles Hill. And it was really his only hope of winning against a larger, well-armed force was the element of surprise. So let's get down to brass tacks. As Henry's flanking party advanced to the dense woods that like snaked and was guided by these high ravines, Owain led a carefully planned ambush. So the Welsh forces struck suddenly and fiercely from all angles, some up high on the ravines and on the upper paths, and then some from the front and through the thick woodlands. The narrow paths and the thick underbrush trapped all the English soldiers. And what we do know about the narrow pass is, like, from the film 300, their numbers count for nothing. So this, like,
I don't know what I was going to say. Numbers count for shit. Then I think that was a parody film or something about it that says that. But yeah, I get what you mean. Sentiment's the same.
Yeah. So as when there's large armies snaking through a tight ravine, you can just pick them off, and their numbers aren't as important, especially if you're doing like these classic Welsh guerrilla, really vicious, incredibly fast-paced attacks. So from there, whilst they were coming through this ravine, the Welsh archers rained down arrows on essentially like sitting ducks from these expert Welsh bowmen. So the Welsh were up high firing arrows. It caused disorder and confusion, which is like perfect conditions for the lightly armoured Welsh mobile soldiers to like run in. So once the soldiers are kind of looking around, disorientated, that's when the armed swords and spears of the Welsh kind of run in and cause really quick, devastating attacks. Yeah, and then just as soon as the English kind of regather themselves ready to attack, the Welsh soldiers run away, run back into the forest, and followed by arrows from those up on high and the ravines. So it's a you attack and then you run back, you get a volley fire
and just like, batter them.
So when the arrows stopped firing, the foot soldiers would rush in again and then launch their javelins at close range, because the Welsh were like really accustomed to using javelins. So they'd run back in, do another wave of attack, throw their javels, and then escape again with the archers repelling any countercharge by the English. So the numbers were just getting dwindled and dwindled with this like tactic back and forth, and they were cut off from the rest of the army. And remember, King Henry was there himself, so it was like, it was incredibly... all the soldiers with him would have been well-armed, good armor, good swords, and all that stuff, but like losing them was a real crushing blow. Owain personally led the ambushing forces, whilst his son David was there to support as a separate detachment. So Owain, like most Welsh leaders, was a warrior prince, so he was at the front line with it. They caused a huge amount of casualties for the English. Eustace Fitzjohn, who was a seasoned noble and royal official, was killed in the fray. Many of Henry's men were slain, and those who weren't forced to retreat in panic, with records indicating the injury and death toll was ebbing from moderate to heavy. And then Henry himself only narrowly escaped death. He just got back in time. They said he was injured, but he managed to get away back to safety. And had he not, the course of history...
Another great what if, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. The setback and the aftermath of this... despite Henry being set back and it was significantly a blow, eventually Owain chose to negotiate rather than push the advantage, leading to a diplomatic settlement. Owain agreed to restore lands to his brother Cadwallader, but retained much of his territorial gains, so it kind of worked out well for him. But he did acknowledge Henry's overlordship, at least symbolically, because he would continue to go to war and continue assaults against him. But for the time being, he acknowledged the overlordship. And then the English fleet, however, that ravaged the coastline. It burnt down loads of coastal towns and murdered loads of the locals, which further encouraged Owain to think about his people and settle for a peaceful resolution. Because he won this great little ambush, but the rest of the army and all that stuff is so much bigger than what
that's
we did.
That's it. Elsewhere, you're losing lots of innocent lives and towns, like you say, Nick. So it's that... what's the word? It's but that compromise you got to make, I guess. Isn't it? Even though you could have pressed the advantage and maybe gone a bit harder on the war side of things, but is it worth? What a man! What a great leader! Think of his people. Oh my God, he's so lovely.
Well, also, it added like a tactical element to him, which inspired others to join him later on. So this battle showed this skirmish showed the effectiveness of his guerrilla warfare, using forested terrain and hit and run tactics, and local knowledge to outwit much larger conventional forces. And it, strategically, the campaign failed to break Owain's power in Gwynedd. So they came to an agreement, but the actual goal was to wipe Owain off power, and they failed to do so. So he emerged with his authority largely intact, and Henry, though not defeated outright, failed to bring North Wales under firm control.
Not a great first showing, like you said. If you're sort of trying to come out of the gates hot, he's been like battered in one of his first big engagements.
And it was, again, once this was like since England formed in 1066, then there was 200 years of trying to conquer Wales, and this was just another flashpoint with what was like 220 years of constant war. But this is one of the moments when the Welsh managed to hold them back for a little bit longer and get a chance to regain and keep independence for decades more.
Go on, lads.
So the battle took place near, like I said, near Coswell Hill, and there are some plaques around there and some statues and stuff that are that have what they call like, you know, like blue plaque things, like significant
I know. Yeah, what you mean. They're so like sort of a lament for the dead type stuff.
Yeah, so you got a few of those cool things around there, which I'd be interested to see. And yeah. That is pretty much a fleeting visit to this skirmish. I like doing the battle ones because it's kind of what we started doing for this pod. It's quite nice to go back to them.
I like a good battle as well. It's so often that the Welsh versus the English ones descend into the guerrilla tactics, but I love hearing about like how the vicious, like quick assaults, like that's just such a staple of the Welsh like military machine through history.
And we have got Llandeilo Fawr and Cadfan, which are two big ones to do as well, which we did do originally, but we deleted them because they were hot garbage when we had our really bad mics.
garbage.
We have got them, but Welsh history doesn't have a huge amount of pitched battles, just because we could never afford to do that. We've done a couple.
It's not so much the tech. We had the tech, but it's like you said, the finance, the numbers, isn't it? It's so much less as well. Numbers. Yeah.
And we've done Kriegmaur, which is a big one for that. That's a pitched battle. And Pilleth, the Owain Glyndŵr one.
Yeah, what's that? Bringlas, that's no
Bringlas, yeah. So they're like our kind of famous ones. A Wedding Bridge, that's not really a pitch, then we get a bit fucked there. Moyle Don, we've done Battle of Moyle Don, which
Moyle Don's good.
Yeah. And Mynydd Hyddgin, that's kind of a pitched battle, but that's not really the style of it. Whereas
a bit more hit and run, that one, isn't it? But it's a bit less hit and run than this one, for example, but still got like those elements in it.
Yeah. I also, on the Patreon, we're going to be discussing if we were to make a Welsh film, and we're going to do I got a couple of things down, and I was thinking I was thinking about who we could do it on, and I'd like to hear what our listeners think. If there's a specific person you think could make a cool, like Braveheart-esque film, and what battles would you include for that? We're also going to do a horror-based one as well, because I think Wales and Welsh folklore has like
folk horror-y lends itself so easy to horror. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Did you ever watch that Glaive in the end?
No, I'd like to.
That's a good little example of like Welsh horror.
Yeah, that's the battle then. That's it done. I can't even say the name of it.
Elloy.
But yeah, there's some cool depictions of it. There's this guy called Edward Frank Gillett. He drew this illustration in the early 1900s of the Welsh like launching rocks and spears down from the ravines at the English underneath, and it just seems like pretty scary, like just wandering through.
I've got it up. Is it the one? It's like one of the first ones that comes up there. Sort of, I can see it. They're all on top of these mountains, lobbing stones down, and shields. That was pretty cool.
And I was also forgot to say the casualties for the Welsh were pretty much non-existent. So there was heavy casualties on the English, and the Welsh pretty much became unscathed. So, just F you, King Henry.
So fuck you.
So fuck you.
I use that image as the
Yes, cool. That's good.
Called the album art for this one. Yeah, cover art.
All right. Well, that's enough history for you all today. Now go smoke some fags and someone else.
No, bugger off. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Cheers, guys. Oh, if you're a new listener, you've got this far. It really helps if you drop us a 5-star review. It's annoying that it does, but it does help us a lot with reach and stuff. So if you enjoyed it, drop it a 5-star.
Mucho apreciado.
Ta-da.
Cheers, guys. Ta-da, ta-da, ta-da.